Let's turn in the scriptures now to Malachi and chapter 3. Malachi in chapter 3, and we'll be reading verses 1 through 18. Malachi chapter 3, we're reading verses 1 through 18, and beginning in verse 1, these are God's words. Behold, I am going to send my messenger, and he will clear the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, and the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire, like fuller's soap. He will sit as a smelter and purifier of silver, and he will purify the sons of Levi, and refine them like gold and silver, so that they may present to the Lord offerings in righteousness. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord, as in the days of old, as in former years. Then I will draw near to you for judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers and against the adulterers, and against those who swear falsely, and against those who oppress wage earner and his wages, the widow and the orphan, and those who turn aside the alien and do not fear me, says the Lord of hosts. For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore you, O sons of Jacob, are not consumed. From the days of your fathers, you have turned aside from my statutes and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you say, how shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, so that there may be food in my house. And test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven, and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows. Then I will rebuke the devourer for you, so that it will not destroy the fruits of the ground. Nor will your vine in the field cast its grapes, says the Lord of hosts. All the nations will call you blessed, for you shall be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. Your words have been arrogant against me, says the Lord. Yet you say, what have we spoken against you? You have said, it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept his charge and that we have walked in mourning before the Lord of hosts? So now we call the arrogant blessed. Not only the doers of wickedness built up, but they also test God and escape. And those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord gave attention and heard it. And the book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who esteem his name. They will be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I prepare my own possession, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. So you will again distinguish between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve him. Those are God's words. So here, if you go back to verse 1, you see the promise of John the Baptizer as the messenger, particularly when it says, then the Lord here in verse 1, it means Christ, the Messiah. And he will come and in the incarnation, and he'll come to his holy temple, and he will declare who he is. And then further, as you look in verse 1, the second word that says messenger, the second messenger in verse 1, that is actually Christ as well. Not only the first messenger, John the Baptizer, then the Lord being Christ, the messenger also being Christ. He's the messenger of the covenant, and he brings that covenant about. Then as we think of all these things here in chapter 3, we look at verse 6, or through verse 6, we find comfort that is brought to the church in Christ's coming, but also terror about the judgment that is coming to those who are not of his church. That is, to the wicked, there will come judgment. Verse 6 is a good verse for the doctrine of the immutability of God. The immutability of God, that is, that God does not change, as it says in verse 6. And the doctrine that we call, and when we study theology, is called the immutability of God. Now, he does not change. And then through verse 12, we find a rebuke from the Lord to the Jews who had turned aside from God's law and not given God what was due him in their tithes and offerings in accordance with the ceremonial law. They were not worshiping the Lord as they ought to have been doing. But if they would return and repent of their sins and turn back to the Lord and change their ways, then he would return in mercy to them. And then through verse 15, there is a description of their wickedness, in which they speak against the Lord, being arrogant and foolish. And then the chapter ends concerning the righteous living in righteousness, and that they are God's possession, and they serve Him and honor Him. And so, of course, as we summarize for us, we are here called to strive to be those who are of the righteous, that we would not be judged, who turn from our sins through Jesus Christ, looking to Him who is the author and perfecter of our faith, to the God who does not change. Let's pray. Our Father, we're thankful for again this call to turn back to You. We have come today through a week of sinning against You. And even this morning, we have sinned against You in thought, word, and deed. We've broken every single one of Your commandments, even today, in ways we don't quite understand. And yet we know, if we think about it, that we have done so. And so we have committed those sins of omission and sins of commission. And Father, we ask that You would forgive us of our sins, even the ones we don't know that we've committed. You would help us, and by Your Spirit, to shine a light into our hearts and our minds and our wills and our affections to show those sins that we don't know that we're committing. And the ones that we see, we pray that we would repent of our, like our confession says, repent of our particular sins particularly, and each one individually as we see them. Father, and help us in this and show us mercy, because that is a great task in and of itself. Father, again, we ask that You would show mercy to us, Your people, not because of our own works, because our own works apart from Christ are nothing and nothing good. And so, Father, we pray that You would see us in Christ, every single one of us, that You would bring salvation to those, even of our children, who do not know You, who have not professed faith before the congregation. We ask that You would save them, that You would give them boldness to proclaim the gospel, and that they would trust in it for their life and submit to Christ in all things, as we pray also for ourselves. We do pray for Oliver this morning, that You would heal his elbow. We pray also for Ron and Karen as they travel back to Arizona tomorrow, that You would bless their travels and keep them safe. We praise You that You have enabled them to find a home to move into in a few months, and we ask that You would give them success again in their move, and that You would encourage them in this time that might be discouraging because they have to move back here. Perhaps that You would even encourage them and being able to fellowship with us again, and that You would encourage our congregation with their presence as well. Father, we do praise You for giving us wisdom for the future and answering our prayers yesterday. We ask that You would bring great success by Your Word and Spirit for our congregation, and Lord willing, many years to come of ministry here. We pray that You would grow our church, that You would grow us in number, that we'd be able to reach many more people, not just other Christians that would come into our church, but those who don't know You, and that they would believe unto salvation, and they would glorify You, the Father who is in heaven. Now, Father, we pray for the persecuted church throughout the world, even in our own nation, that you would strengthen them for the task, and that they would keep as their foundation of their focus and their life that focus on Christ and the that state of which awaits them in glory forever. Father, we ask as well for us that you would prepare us for any times in the future when we will have to be persecuted or suffer for the name and sake of Christ, that you would bless us and help us with not only knowing what the Scriptures teach about suffering and persecution, but that you would sow it into our hearts, that in those times when it does come, we pray that we would be ready, that we would look upon your Son, depend upon your Spirit, and that we would never cease to praise your name or testify the truth, even when we are called to forsake the truth by the wicked. We pray that we would never do so, but we would be able to stand firm, weak as we are, because of the strength that you have given to us through Christ and your Spirit. Father, we do pray for our government, that you would lead those leaders in ruling according to your law, that you would bring about peace and that you would bring about safety to us as citizens. I do pray for whatever is happening with our leaders in North Korea today, though sinfully meeting on the Lord's Day to do political work. We pray that you would bring success and bring about peace with that nation. Father, that there would be no heightened threat to us, even us, your people. Father, we know that our nation is wicked. They rule in accordance with the laws of the world, and that Satan is leading many of them. We pray that though you would intervene and bring about peace for your church, that we'd be able to worship freely, that the gospel would be proclaimed, that Christ would be proclaimed by those government leaders, and that all people of our nation would be called to worship Him alone. We know that is seemingly far-fetched, and that's what we desire. We pray that our leaders would not be those nations of Psalm 2, arrogantly rebelling against Christ, but they would submit to Him in all things, just as we ought to submit to Him in all things. Father, we ask as we continue in worship that you would help us and bless your people, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.